You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
Mikveh is going to happen September 9th. We had a great one last Shabbat, the Believer's Mikveh, and a great time together. It was just wonderful. Picnic, and it was just great. I wish we could have one so much more, but we'll have another one September 9th, and it was a great location Fran got for us. I guess that spot there was really great. So if you haven't been Mikveh, and I have a lot more information on it than I used to have, and it's great to understand it. So we will talk about that. Zimbabwe team, we're doing some things to help them, right? Right? What's going on? I mean, besides, we are held, but aren't we doing something with Toy Fund Drive, right? Okay, it will be. Okay, so there'll be ways that you can help participate in the trip they're going, and we're really excited about that. There's now going to be seven. So it's the number we were looking for. I won't embarrass anyone, but praise the Lord. That's really exciting. It's going to be amazing how God's going to use this group going to Zimbabwe to reach our people there and treat them medically. It's a medical outreach, but it's medical and spiritual, of course. There'll be all sorts of great outreach. And fall festival's coming up, September. As Sean said, it'll be a busy month, so be planning. Mark your calendars. Those are the dates up there. September 20th, Rosh Hashanah, the New Year, then Jewish New Year, then Yom Kippur, September 30th. And all those will be right here. And then building our sukkah after Yom Kippur, we'll celebrate Erev Sukkot, the evening of Sukkot, on that Wednesday evening. So mark those on your calendar. And Professor Levine will be with us also. Joel Levine, October 10th. It's going to be amazing. Amy Joel Levine. By the way, I'm just going to mention too that Israel, we now have an annual Israel trip. So I heard others planning to go at different things, and we just want you to know an option is, if you want to go with Cold OD, we have one, a great one. It's going to be end of May, 27th of May into June, and so it's going to be great. We will do some volunteer projects while we're over there, a few, but we'll be lots of great touring and fun, and there'll be a track for young and old, probably for some more adventurous things as well during that. So plan on those dates and just call the office if you have more questions. All right. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidishanu b'mitzvotah v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who makes us holy by his commandments and commands us to immerse ourselves in the words of Torah. So we pray you open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word, Lord, now. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 12, if you would. Deuteronomy 12, Devarim, Deuteronomy 12. And I want to talk about Hamakom, and really, what is Hamakom? Let's say Hamakom, the place. So two brothers from Russia, I was thinking of picking two people here for this one, but I'll just say two brothers from Russia were visiting a zoo in America, and Boris was advising his brother on what to see. And so he's telling his brother, he says, there'll be a sign to the elephants. Go, you'll love them. And then he said, there'll be another one to the lions, sign to the lions. Go, they're amazing. He says, but don't bother with the sign to the exit. They haven't got one. I looked. So I didn't think that one would go over so well, so I'll mention So I thought I'd throw in another one. Rabbi Bloom and Father O'Reilly were arguing about religion, and finally Rabbi Bloom says, we really shouldn't quarrel this way. We're both doing God's work. You in your way, and I in his. Thought that would get a better one. But all right. But what is God's way? You know, here it speaks about actually 12 times in chapters 12, 14, and 16, all in this parsha, 12 times it mentions this word hamakom, hamakom, the place, the place. You see it in verse 5, you know, hamakom asher yivchar, yivchar Adonai Elohechem, lasum et shmo sham levichno. He says, I'll read from verse 4, you're not to act like this towards Adonai your God, rather you're to seek only the place Adonai your God chooses. He's talking about utterly destroying in verse 2 the other places of these other nations and their gods, serving their gods on the high mountains and on the hills under every green tree. You'll tear down their altars. No neutral attitude toward this. Just smash them down, cut them down, obliterate their names. And he says, but you are to seek only the place the Lord your God chooses for all his tribes to put his name to dwell. There you will come. Hamakom, the place. There you will come. You know, remember the song, there's a place for us, a time, not a place for us. What musical is that from? West Side Story. West Side Story, yeah, one of my favorite, and probably yours. Somewhere, it's actually the song's called, but there's a place where God chooses. And again, in chapter 16, verse 2, it puts it this way, b'makom asher yivchar Adonai lichach. L'shaken shmo sham. In the place, translated literally, in the place which shall choose the Lord your God to dwell his name there, to live, dwell his name there. We don't choose the place to worship God. God does. Now, you know, we may want to worship God in the way that suits us, as it suits us, rather than as he's designated. You know, that's very typical today in our culture. You know, you go to a place of worship and you have you punch your card, so to speak. You know, you want a milky message, nothing that challenges you, nothing that has to cause you to grow. Want something that just fits me and my schedule, my way. And God says, no, you worship Israel. You have to worship the way I tell you. You're going to go out of your comfort zone to the place where I tell you to come. It's not going me coming to you, so to speak. It's you coming where I am. And I'm not going to comment on that in our culture, but 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4 talks about that, having itching ears, you know, the whole time. Writes Rabbi J.H. Hertz, the Israelites were not like, I don't know why this is all doing this again. It used to be sturdy. It gets all unsturdy. So if I'm seeing double vision, it's not that. The Israelites were not like the Canaanites to worship God on the high mountains. And by the way, interesting, I'll just mention it because I'll probably forget later, or I may not even get to mention it. But interesting, high places is Bama, Bama. And I said, you know, wait a minute, if I really translated that, the high places, they worship these false gods, it just means in the what? In the what? That's how you could literally translate it. So the high place is God saying, in the what? In other words, these gods don't even really exist. That's one way of I would, you know, interpret it. These things don't even really, and yet you're worshiping them. And so he says they were not to do so, worship God. They were to worship God not on the high mountains and under every green tree, but were to do so in a central sanctuary, not as multiple sanctuaries throughout the land, but they must travel to a single legitimate sanctuary. So God doesn't necessarily make things easy. One central sanctuary with one central altar for all Israel was for the purpose of ensuring unity in national life, he says. Though Jerusalem was the ultimate place chosen, it was not yet here in view. Jerusalem was only later conquered by King David and made its capital, and the Ark of the Covenant was brought there, 2 Samuel 5, chapters 5 and 6. So God might from time to time, before that, designate different places where offerings were to be brought, Deuteronomy 27, 5. Israel is commanded to build an altar on Mount Ebal and sacrifice burnt offerings upon it. Shiloh was for centuries the home of God's choice, Jeremiah 7, 12 says, we read. David is told to erect an altar in the threshing floor of Arunah in Jerusalem, 2 Samuel 24, 18. And of course, earlier, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the Mishkan in the wilderness, in the desert, and of course, later, Solomon's temple. But so it didn't happen right away. And sometimes God's plans are only realized after a long wait. So that's something we can realize. Sometimes what even God says doesn't happen right away. It may take time. But look at the words in Hebrew. They're up here for you to see. It's interesting. Makom is from the root kum. Let's say kum. And that means to rise. To rise. Kum. Rise up. Kum. And then the word for choose is bachar. Let's say bachar. It means to choose from many, to select. The word to place or to set up, to appoint or to put, is sum. You want to say sum? Sum. And then God's name is Shmo. Shmo. Okay? Shmo is God's name. And this is from the root shema, not with a ayin, but with a hey, shema, to identify. And then sham is the word for there. Let's say sham. All right, sham, okay. To dwell, shechen, try that, shechen. Shechen is to dwell. It's later in, you know, called the Shechna in rabbinic literature, God's dwelling, where God resides with others, to reside with others, to dwell or to live. And then he says, you're to seek. I didn't write these up for you there, but he says, there you'll seek me. It means darash, to seek thoroughly, investigate, search, and to, anyway, I'm not even going to mention it. So note the plays, though, in the Hebrew letters, Shem, the Samech, and the Mem. And maybe we could put this on the, I think it's another one, Miranda, another slide. A little further, probably. There we go. All right, yeah, I put it here. So notice these two letters, how all of these words, place, to put or place, sum, his name, shmo, from shem name, or shem means his name, shmo, and then sham, there, the word for there, all these words, isn't interesting, right? So there must be a reason for that, because maybe his name is the place. God's name is the place. Where is the place where his name dwells? There. The name, Hashem, the name. The risen place God has set up where he lives with his people. Think about it. Now, Yeshua prayed in John 17, verses, I'm reading several verses here, 6, 11, and 26. He says, I have made your name known to the men of this world that you gave me. Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one, just as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name that you have given me. I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. So really, what though is the name, the meaning of the name of God, when it speaks about God's name so many times? Well, there's two definitions I would give. When it's talking about the name of God, in the name of God, or I will call upon the name of the Lord. What is this? Number one, it's who God is. The name of God is who God is in his glory, his character, and his power, his faithfulness and reliability historically and perpetually, his reputation, and his authority. And so, for example, in Psalm 20, I'll just give you a few examples. Psalm 20, several verses here, verses depending on the translation you have. Jewish version would be verse 2, and I think another, like, version, Christian version might be just verse 1. May the name of the God of Jacob set you up securely on high. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. Then down verse 6, further down, we will shout for joy in your victory and lift up your banners in the name of our God. In the name of our God. Further on, I think there's one more here. There it is, verse. Some have chariots, verse 8. Some, maybe verse 7 in yours. Some have chariots, some have horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, the name of Adonai our God. And so the name of God. Psalm 116, he says, again, verses 4, 13, and 17, three times again using the name of God. Then I called upon the name of Adonai. Adonai, save my soul. I called upon his name. It's not saying a technical name here. There, God has many names. I have a list of 10 really good Hebrew names, you know, that I, when I teach that subject as the names of God in a, like a classroom setting, and, you know, go into the different Hebrew names. And I might mention a few things here, but not really going to go into that in the sermon today. But he called on the name of God. It's who God is. Who God is. His glory, his character, his power, his faithfulness. Who he is. Again, down verse 13. I'll lift up the cup of salvation. How can I repay God? I'll lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Or down in verse 17, to you I'll offer a sacrifice of praise and call on the name of the Lord. So the second meaning then would be, it means in his place. In the name of God is to be in his place. In other words, representing him. This is very simple, but it's amazing how many don't understand that and get confused when they're talking about the name. I think it's almost like a genie in a bottle. You know, if I say in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, some miracle's going to happen. It has nothing. It's not even what he meant when he said to pray in my name necessarily. It doesn't mean you have to say his name, although we should. That's great to say his name, and we love to say his name, B'Shem Yeshua. But it means in certain cases, it means in his place. Representing him, doing what he would do if he were here, which he is in you and in me, in us. He is here. So doing what he would do, we represent him. That's why Yeshua is saying, if you ask anything in my name, you're representing me. That's what it means. For example, in Psalm 118, you may be right already near there with 116. 118, verses 10, all nations surround me. In the name of Adonai, I will cut them off. In his name, representing him, I'll cut them off. 11 and 12, it's four times in this. Surround me, and he repeats it. Yes, all surround me. In the name of Adonai, I will cut them off. Verse 12, again, in the name of Adonai, I'll cut them off. And one more time in verse 26, he mentions it. Oh, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. And of course, Adonai used in this translation is really the Yud Heh Vav Heh, the Tetragrammaton, the four-letter name of God. And so this is what when Yeshua is saying. So the name of God, who God is, and we're in his place, being in his place, being representing him, what he would do. Where is this Hamakom then? Where is Hamakom for us today as believers, this risen place? Where is it today? Where do we go, if at all possible, to bring our sacrifices and offerings and rejoice before him with his people? There, in this place, there is clarity. Things are identified. Remember that Shem comes from to be identified. There we find God. He dwells with others. There we're lifted up above our enemies. Now, Messiah's body, and we're risen above the world of distractions and lies. Now, Messiah's body, which is resurrected out of death, Messiah's body is the place where we meet God in a collective way. We are that body, and he dwells in us as we submit to one another under his headship. We bear his name, don't we? We bear his name. We represent him. Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua, the Lord is salvation. God is salvation. We represent him and we bear his name. So Hamakom, this place, is where we meet God. That's why I have a bunch of slides with the song. Let's go back to that one where it's in Hebrew with the kids, if you would, for a minute. Let's all. What does that say at the top? Come on, some of you got to read. What song is that? Hinei Matov. Yeah, come on, let's say it. Hinei Matov Umanayim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. Hinei Matov Umanayim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. All right, we'll stop there. Hinei Matov. All right, so that's beautiful. So unity. Hamakom is bring the Yeshua, our oneness with the Lord, meeting the Lord where he brings oneness, the oneness of the Father, Av, HaBen, the Father, the Son, with us. But where does God meet with us or dwell with us, I should say, individually then? Well, Isaiah 66 rather. Isaiah 66, we read it in the responsive reading. The first couple of verses. Thus says Adonai, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house you'll build for me? Where's the place of my rest? For my hand has made all these things. So all these things came to be, declares the Lord. I created the heavens and the earth. I created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1. And how are you going to possibly compete with that? Where are you going to build something for me that I'll rest? And then this profound next phrase, he says, but this is the one, on this one will I look, one humble and of contrite spirit who trembles at my word. Wow. God wants to live in you. God wants the living God, the Creator, wants to live in you. He wants to dwell in you. And as we honor his word, we submit to his word, we revere the word of God. And this is one. And then in verse, it's actually John 14:23, Yeshua said, he that loves me keeps my word. And we will come, the Father and Son says, we will come and make our dwelling with him. My Father and I will make our dwelling with him. That's amazing. He that loves me keeps my word, and we will make our home, our dwelling with him. Isaiah 57:15 says, thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, I dwell in a high and holy place, but also with the contrite and lowly of heart, to revive the heart of the contrite, to revive the spirit of the lowly. Same idea. God is actually called, interestingly enough, Hamakom in Talmudic literature. Why would that be? One idea is because God is and cannot be contained. It cannot be contained, but he can contain all. In other words, he is the omnipresent one. He is the one who, in other words, Hamakom used here is a euphemism for God in bereavement, in Jewish funerals, when someone has passed. We say in the Hebrew blessing is May Hamakom, used for God, euphemism for May the place, God, but God is called Hamakom, comfort you and with other mourners in Zion, of Zion and Jerusalem. Comfort in bereavement. God is our dwelling place. God is the one who comforts us. So this idea of Hamakom being the place where we find God, because in a sense it is God. He is God. He is named is there. And I think the mystery of the as I said, the Shem and the Mem are there to show us that he is the place. It's in who he is. The place where he meets us. The place where we leave the familiar and the normal routines of life, and we ascend to meet him. We leave our comfort zones and we inconvenience ourselves to be where he is. Again, we're to be a mobile people. We have to make an effort in order to find God, to be where he is. He doesn't just come to where we are, like is taught a lot of times in religious circles. We have to go where he is. Do you understand? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you will search for me with what? With all your heart. With all your heart. We seek him. We find him. You know, there's a progression in Shir HaShirim. You know what Shir HaShirim is? Song of Songs. Let's say Shir HaShirim. The Song of Songs, the greatest love song. That's what I'm going to talk about at the retreat. Use the song, go through a little, and in the Song of Songs, and our love relationship, with God. And but you know, there's a progression in there that is amazing. Verses two, chapter 2:16, chapter 6:3, and chapter 7:10 or 11, depending on your translation, where 2:16 she says, "My beloved," again the woman speaking to the man, speaking, she says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. My beloved is mine, I am his." And then 6:3, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." In other words, so the first one is more, and then the third one, 7:11, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me." That's the ultimate. "I am my beloved's and his desire for me." In other words, in the first one, maybe it's sort of like being saved, but still self-absorbed. You know? He belongs to me. Oh, yeah, and I belong to him too. But he's mine now. He's mine. It's really still about me. But then you come to a place where I belong to him. Oh, and he's also mine. Reverse it. So more maturing in there. Not quite, you know, not quite where you're. But then, "I am my beloved's. His desire is for me." He is her sole focus of attention. It's all about him. And I lose myself in who he is. That's maturity. That's growing. You know, we seek him and we find him. In chapter 5, it's interesting. He comes to her, and she's sort of lazy. She's in her bed. She says, "I don't want to come out. I'm tired. I've already undressed. I've gotten ready for bed." And so he leaves. And then she's devastated that he leaves, because her delayed lethargic response causes him to withdraw. And so she goes seeking after him. She has to go after him. When I was a young believer, I remember I learned, one of the things I learned was to look for God early in the morning or late at night, but go to a place of solitude. Always to go. I would go to rooftops. I don't recommend doing that. I wouldn't do that anymore. But I would go in apartment buildings. You know, I would go to be on a rooftop or underground, ugly underground parking garage. I would get away to a place where I would find the Lord, where I would meet him, and I know he would. And he knew I was making an effort, a special effort to find him, to meet him, and he would always meet me. I don't mean I'd always feel anything or always experience, but I mean he would honor that. I knew he would honor that, and I would there study the word and pray and camp out at times, you know, in a crummy tent, you know, and do it. Those times God went on. But inconvenience ourselves in order to seek him. You know, Psalm 42, like a heart, like a deer pants after the waters, I seek after you, God. And Psalm 63, many others. God honors sacrifice. David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, "I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. I won't offer what cost me nothing." So the name Hamakom contains various manifestations of God, according to some of the rabbinic thoughts. The mercy of God, the justice of God, the power of God. He's our Father. He's our King. Limitless, a limitless source to us, our Master, Adonai. And all these names relate to actually individual names of God. Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, Elohim, Melech, and Av, and Adonai, and so on. And yet, Hamakom, God says, where are you going to meet with, where are you going to come? I want you to come, again, back to Deuteronomy 12. There, I want you to come to me. There, come to me, and I will meet you. And I close with John, in John 14, where Yeshua, again, says this. There's an interesting verse that I do not understand in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll admit I do not understand it. 15:28 says, after death is destroyed, that the Son will say to the Father, that will submit to the Father, that God may be all and in all. Interesting verse. I've never understood it. Now I'll probably get 20 emails explaining it to me. You have the answer. But I read, but God wants to be hamakom to us. John 14 verse says, Yeshua says, my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to you, that where I am, you may be also. And then they asked him, how do we know where you're going? How do we know the way? And he says, I am the way. I am that way. I'm the answer. I'm the one you're looking for. And again, as we said earlier, verse 23, Yeshua answered, said, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. We'll make our dwelling with him. I'm going away, but I'm coming back. Let's find God in as our hamakom. Let's get to know God as our hamakom. Let's be willing to inconvenience ourselves, be willing to go and seek him. Make a decision. We will go, not expect him to just come to us. He will do that, of course, in times of, but we are going to make a special effort to go to him so that he can be our all and in all. Right? Colossians 3:11, that Messiah may be all and in all. Father, we just thank you. And by the way, I just stopped this. Stop my prayer a sec. The body of Messiah is the key place. Vertically, I find him, or individually, he meets me. But collectively, and really horizontally, we meet him in the body of Messiah. That's the place, really. And that's where we discover our gifts. That's where we are kept humble, really. Romans chapter 12 is all in Romans 12. That's where we discover the will of God, and we offer ourselves a sacrifice. In other words, continually going through death and resurrection. Really, that's what that means, I think, in Romans 12:1, a continual sacrifice, because God takes us through death and resurrection, not just once, but a constant thing. And that's how we grow. That's how we become more like him. And that's how we are knowing him as Hamakom. Let's say Hamakom. Father, we just thank you again.